Welcome back to Real Estate and You. I've got Dr. Mark Notzer with me today. And if you caught something, which is kind of cool, he is the chief economist for the Texas A&M Real Estate Research Center. But if you noticed, he attended the University of Texas. So we got to like him.
Well, and my daughter went to Baylor, so my official motto is hook 'em, gig 'em, and sick 'em.
Yeah. Well, I kind of figured, I said, my parents paid a lot of money for me to go to the University of Texas, and I paid a lot of money for my daughter to go to Texas Tech, so I figured I can go either way.
Exactly. We can guns up.
But one thing important before we get back to real estate stuff, did you enjoy your supper last night?
Tell you what, eating in San Angelo is a treat. Yes,
and you can tell, I don't miss too many meals, but we are fortunate. We haven't taken to Zentner's yet. Zentner's is another good steakhouse, but we took him to Twin Mountains and those scraps. They're good.
Hard to beat. Yes, indeed.
And so I think even your sweet wife enjoyed those.
She did. She ate them like a war horse. I hope she's not listening.
And folks, in case you do miss one of our shows, you can go to sallison.com. But just a little trivia, I want to talk to a little bit. Dr. Notzer, if you've listened on certain things, he's been featured in Wall Street Journal. He's been on Real Estate News. He's been on PSA. Most of your major stuff, when you want to know what's really going on in the real estate world, people call this man right here. So, folks, we're blessed and fortunate to have him kind of give his wisdom to us. And remember, if you do miss a show, we can always go to sallison.com and you can listen to it again and see if we made a mistake or anything. Okay, back to our real estate world. Mm-hmm. Houses, what you just said.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to add something too about the lower half of the less expensive homes. I don't want to call them lower, just the less expensive homes. There's a problem of being able to get mortgages. Back in 2006 and 2007, we tried to grant what I was calling a grand social experiment, and that was also called subprime mortgage lending. Oops, that's my wife. Tell her I'm not here. I told her I wouldn't do this kind of stuff.
Sorry about that. That's what makes it real.
Are we still going?
We're going.
Sweet. Okay. Well, what I was going to say was that the bottom line is we tried this grand social experiment. It's like, okay, if you don't have a job, if you have bad credit and no money, we will loan you 100% of the purchase price of a home. And we found out that was a horrible mistake. Now what's happened is the pendulum has swung again through my favorite topic, government regulation. Dodd-Frank regulation has made it hard for a lot of people to get homes. I guarantee you there are people in San Angelo that should be able to buy a home that can't because of this over-regulation that's come out of Dodd-Frank. And you talk to lenders in this state, all over the country. This is not a Texas issue. This is a national issue. There are just a whole bunch of people in America that for the last 40 years would have been able to buy a house with a very small down payment that for the last 5 years they haven't. Now, the good news is that the federal government is recognizing the mistakes they've made here. The Federal Reserve, the Securities and Exchange Commission, I always have to spell that out. I used to just say the SEC. But ever since A&M got in the SEC, I have to explain to Aggies there's more than one SEC, okay? This is the Federal Reserve, the Securities and Exchange Commission, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, about 18 months ago, realized that they were hurting economic development in America by over-regulating the mortgage system and decided to do something about it. So in May of 2013, I started advising all the people on my blogs and my presentations, your government is going to make it easier to buy homes coming up pretty soon. And they've actually done that. So as we sit here now in 2015, it's now easier to get a 95% loan or even a 97% loan, which is where it should have been in the past. And so the beautiful thing is that the government is going to kind of move back to normal. I'm not recommending that somebody with no job and bad credit get 100% loan. That was dumb. But before we got dumb like that, it used to be very common for somebody to buy a home with 5% down payment. If you have a job, decent credit, 95% loan is normal business in America. And so that's the good news for the housing market is there's going to be a whole bunch of people in Texas that have been shot out of the housing market for the last 5 years that are going to be able to get back into the market with a small down payment. I'm really encouraged by that.
Well, what you said earlier, and I agree with you 100%, I think most Americans, certainly most West Texans, we want immediate gratification. So even though we make a decent salary, we pay our bills, we use our salary. So when you say, Bob, do you have $10,000? He goes, no, I have a credit line, and I have this, I have that. So for them to come up, so the smaller down payment is huge.
Yeah. Most Americans do not have a lot of money for a down payment on a house. And that doesn't mean they're not qualified to buy a home. And that doesn't mean for the last 50 years, people just like them have been buying homes, watching the equity in their home appreciate, watching it become one of their best assets in terms of wealth. When they come time to retire, they sell that house, they've got some money in there. So it's a good thing.
One thing we've seen, especially in this last year, and even more than the normal, you see people saying, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and pay full price. I'm going to pay $1,000 over full price, but I'm going to ask the seller to pay my buyer's closing cost of $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is." And the first reaction, the seller goes, "Why should I pay his closing cost?" Well, if you don't, he can't buy your house because he doesn't have that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're kind of trying to figure out ways around,
right.
Put the puzzle together.
Right. Well, it's just a fact. A lot of Americans don't have more than 3-5% to put down. So if you want them to own a home, you've got to come up with some kind of lending products that allow them to do that.
Well, and I'm with you. I've been doing this, I guess, a little over 30 years. And I was when we did the negative AMs, and we did stuff like that. And I don't think those were good for people. I think they were, like you would, I think you could almost get somebody into something they probably didn't need to be in. And I think that's one reason we had some of the problems in 85, 86, 87 we had.
Yeah. Fraud happens in America all the time. Not just in the mortgage business, but in the medical business, Social Security. It's just a lot of fraud that goes around. But the fact that you have fraudulent activity in the mortgage market doesn't mean you shut everybody out from buying a home. That'd be like saying we've got fraud in Medicare, so we're just going to shut down the medical system in this country. That just doesn't make any sense.
And I agree. And even in San Angelo, Texas, you said that I got a call last Sunday. And it was Citibank. And they said, Scott, we're checking. I thought, man, again. And they said, did you go to HEB this morning? I'm going, I just barely got out of bed. Early. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, no. And so apparently, like you said, there is. So we just deal with it.
Yeah, there's. Let's just put it this way. There's a lot of criminals in the world constantly trying to steal our stuff, and we're thriving and surviving in spite of it.
Well, folks, we're going to kind of sum up here a little bit. You mentioned the Dobbs-Frank bill, and I know. In fact, I guess it was 2 years ago you'd addressed this, and it was like 2,000 pages, or
yeah,
because you actually read it.
And they haven't all been. Well, I started to read it. I actually printed it all out. That's the thing I like about living in College Station. You can print out 2,000-page documents, and nobody puts you in jail. Bottom line was there. You ask any banker in this country, if you just mention the two words Dodd-Frank, they start quivering. I mean, they're living in a nightmare, a regulatory nightmare. And the bottom line is they have so much legal liability. If they make a slightest mistake in making a home mortgage loan to somebody, they get all kinds of penalties and punishment. And until that changes, it's going to continue to be hard for some Texans to buy homes.
Well, I'm a self-employed person, sell real estate, have different interests. It was almost impossible for me to get a regular Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, just because I didn't fit into that round peg or that round hole in the round peg, and it didn't work.
Yeah, let me personalize this a little bit even more. Say there's somebody in San Angelo that's working three jobs and been doing that for 20 or 30 years, putting their kids through school and everything else. But because they don't have a salary with one particular company, it might be very hard for them to get a job. And in my mind, that man or woman that's working that hard and wants to buy a home should be able to buy a home, despite some government regulator in Washington.
I agree 100%. But what you just and make sure I'm saying this quickly. But basically, if that banker, even though they know, and I've known a lot of the bankers, and they're good friends of mine in this town. We have great bankers. We have a great community, and they know me. They know I'll pay my bills no matter what. But if they make me a loan and they can show where I didn't fit the criteria that I have to fit in that Dobbs-Frank bill, they're liable, personally, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, listen, a lot of your listeners out there are going to be dumbfounded by this because it just defies all logic. But I'm the lender and you're a borrower, and you come into my bank, and over the last 40 years I'd say, here's how it's going to work, Scott. I'm going to loan you the money, and as long as you make the payments, it's your home. You miss the payments, I'm going to foreclose. You will be out on the street. You will go rent an apartment somewhere else. That's how it works in America successfully for decades. What this new legislation has done is just the opposite. Now you walk into me and want me to make you a loan, and I say, Scott, you got to understand something, pal. Your credit is almost perfect, but not quite, and I'm a little nervous about you because here's the thing is, now if you stop making the payments, not only may I not be able to foreclose on you, but you know what you might do? You might turn around and sue me for making that loan in the first place, and the government will fine me for making that loan in the first place. So my lawyers in the back room are saying, Mark, you do not loan Scott money to buy a house right now.
Don't say that. That's a horrible word.
Isn't that dumb?
That is horrible.
I mean, it's just dumb. But that's the world we live in.
Hey, folks, we appreciate it. I hope you listened. And again, you can go to salson.com and listen to all the update we just got. Have a great week. We'll catch you next week.